Silence. Words easy to misread. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Silence. Words easy to misread. The conversation between many people in life is silence. Many people stand by one another. They walk down the road together. They are in marriage together. They are doing lots of things together, but they do it mostly in silence. And you say, well, doesn't sound like a very effective intercommunication program. Doesn't sound like it'd be a lot of fun to talk with someone in silence. I know some husbands who put their women off by ignoring them, by giving them the cold, silent front. And I know many wives who have done this equally to their husbands. They have given them the cold, silent front, or they talk about things that they know the husband is absolutely uninterested in talking about. Then they wonder why their husband doesn't want to talk to them. Well, this is all technique, a technique of silence, words easy to misread. Now, what kind of words do you give out in the world? What kind of words do I give out in the world? Well, I walk down the street, and I have a smile on my face, and I have a happy atmosphere around me, a happy attitude. And everywhere I look and turn, people smile and are friendly. We went to a number of stores yesterday with Sam Sasu and myself. He came here from Ghana to visit. And as we're walking from store to store, I was always pleasant to the clerks, to the waitresses, or wherever we were. And as I was pleasant to them, it seemed as though they clicked into a different mode. See, they had a mode for grumpy people. They had a mode for people who just came and just wanted a cup of coffee quick, you know. They had a mode for people who wanted a dinner. They had a mode for children that were noisy. They had a mode for all sorts of things. And they had a mode for happy people, too. So I gave them the happy people idea, and they could turn on the happy people mode. Now, I did say, hi, how are you? And I looked at their name tag, and I called them by name. And then, as I had told Sam, I said, now, this lady here, she is from New York, and she is Jewish and Italian background. Her husband brought her from New York to the San Diego area with their children, and they came out here about 10 years ago, and they're living a very interesting, happy life. Well, Sam had to verify these little tidbits that I gave him, thinking perhaps he might trip me up on something. And so he casually asked the lady, he said, where are you from? And the lady says, I'm from everywhere. Sam said, no. I mean, where were you? You were raised and born. I was raised and born in the heart of my mother, a beautiful being. No. I mean, what city did you come from? What state did you come from? You know, are you born in this country? Oh, yes. Yes, I was born in the Apple State. Oh, my, the Big Apple. Great, wonderful. Oh, then you were born in New York. No, I was born just outside of New York. Oh, well, then you weren't born in the Big Apple. Well, who's asking you for details, you know? And so then he stopped with the interrogation, and he said, my friend here said that you are of Jewish and Italian descent, and your husband brought you here 10 years ago with your children to live here in Southern California, and so forth and so on. And she says, well, yes, that's true. That's exactly correct. Now, you see, if instead of interrogating her to try to prove me right subtly, he just would ask straight out, he would get the straight out answers. And this is what we do oftentimes. We have our silent communication. We think, well, we're just going to really suck it to this person and prove that they are wrong or prove that they are unable to be so accurate like they appear to be. Silent communication is a very wonderful thing. It's what goes on all the time. In fact, I imagine 90% of our communication in the world is silent communication. It's done by a smile. It's done by a gesture. It's done by an attitude. It's done by a charisma. Oh, my. Charisma speaks so loudly. Wow. A person walks in a room with an angry look on their face. You know there's trouble brewing. A person walks in their face with an innocent look on their face. and you think, what charming way are they going to reveal themselves to the world? You look at people's out-picturing, and you get one picture. You look at people in-picturing, and you get another picture. What does this person reflect? How is this person looking at the world? Is this person looking at the world as a joyous and a wonderful place? And no matter what happens to them, they find the good. No matter who says anything to them, they create those people saying something glorious. Oh, your slip is showing. And you listen and you say, oh, wonderful. Isn't it great to be able to have a slip to show? You know, isn't it great? No, I mean your undergarment slip. Oh, well, thank you very much. And so then she straightens it up and all is in order and all is in perfect divine order. And she says, so what? You know, well, he was talking about something that was in not proper for him to talk about. Well, what's improper to talk about? You see, when we have an attitude, it's a toothpick, when we have an attitude, that attitude gets us into all sorts of trouble. And Ellen just came over here because she heard the dog chomping on something, and she wanted to see what he was chomping on. And I said, he's chomping on a toothpick. And she said, oh, dear me. She didn't have to say, oh, heavens to Betsy, what's he doing here? Is he going to hurt himself with that toothpick? That's maybe what she was wondering. But I immediately said to myself, Rex, drop it. And he dropped it. And then she looked around for the toothpick and couldn't find it. And then finally, when Rex walked away, there it was lying on the floor. You see, silent communication does far more and far more wonderful things than we ever give it credit for. And it's kind of fun to give it credit for these things because it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun just to be ourselves and to have fun in this life. Silence, words easy to misread, not really. When you are a beautiful person, if you stand there in the silence as a beautiful person, everyone will recognize you as a beautiful person. If you are a naughty person, everybody recognizes you as a mischievous, naughty person. If you are a person who is doing silly things, everybody sees you as that. We had word today that one of our students had lost their child. And the child was 16 years old and was supposed to have been a very outstanding young man. His teachers in school admired him, even though he was mischievous. But he was a kind that loved everybody. He loved himself. He loved his life. And everything was, you know, A1 and, you know, going great guns for him. Why should he be dead now? Why should he die? Well, those are questions that don't always have answers, but this one has an answer. We say, why did he die? Well, knowingly, we say of ourselves, he came to this planet Earth to experience the life that he lived, and he was able to accomplish in that short period of time all the things that he wanted to do. You say, well, if he had lived longer, no, you can't say if he would have. Because, you see, these things are not fatalistic, they are not fate, but they are by choice. And if he had sort of lived his life a little less complete, maybe he would have drug it on a little longer. But he lived his life so complete. He was the ideal young man for his friends. He was the ideal young man for the women. He was the ideal young man for the boyfriends that he had, to the teachers and to everyone in his life, probably even his parents. He was the ideal young man. He had no further to go. He fulfilled everything he did. Now, perhaps he might have liked to go into music, might have liked to go into other areas, but he didn't. He chose to do just the things he did and do them exquisitely well. And then he chose to drop off the scene and move on to another dimension of life. You say, well, gee, that's a cold attitude toward it. That's a cold way. Cold? My gosh, that's warm as toast. That young fella did what he wanted to do, had a wonderful time doing it, and then he moved on to the next dimension of doing it. How many of you can say that? How many of us can say that? Have we lived our life in a wonderful, beautiful, fulfilling way when everything we did was being ourselves and having fun? And then, when the moment came, when we could move on to our next dimension, would we say, yeah, sure. Yeah, I lived a good life. I had a wonderful experience here on Earth, and I would like to look into new horizons. And so then you move into new horizons. Now, you see, that kind of person doesn't have to say outwardly that that's their choice. They don't have to say, I'm going to commit suicide. They don't have to say, I'm going to do some silly thing. They don't have to say anything like that. All they do is live each moment of their life with all their heart and all their soul and all their being. And as they live each moment of their life with all their heart and soul and being, they live without words that speak the completion of who they are. Look at the lives of many people that we hear about. We don't hear about too many. But look at the lives of many people we do hear about. And you'll find that every person who has moved on to the next dimension before we thought they should has done so with a great ability, with a great talent, with a great love, with a great genius about them. And it's true. I was talking to a young man at the Apple Company, and they call their helpers genius. So you just ask a genius and you get the answer. So the young lady came up and said, sir, can you help me with this here? He said, what's the problem? And she said, my problem is that this won't work. He says, no, I don't know how to do that. And of course, big mouth me, I spoke up and I said, hey guy, you're a genius. A genius never says, I don't know how to do it. He'll say, hey, I'll look into it for you. Hey, I know someone who knows how to do that. Let me check with him. But you never say no that you don't know how to do something, because what you're doing is you're denying your connection to your divinity. You're denying your connection to being a divine genius. And the next time someone comes up and says something, you'll say, no, I don't know it. And then pretty soon they'll take you off the genius staff, because genius never say they don't know. They say, let me check it, let me detail it, let me look more thoroughly in it. I have a couple of ideas what it might be, but let me make out for sure what the idea is and how it fits. You see, when we speak in the silence, and how many doctors have you heard do this? The doctor comes up and thumps your chest. And he thumps it again. He thumps it again. He thumps your back. He thumps your shoulders or your tummy or whatever he thumps, and he's always got that and you say, doctor, is it serious? And right away you take it for bad. Instead you say, is it that good, doc? Am I 100%? Am I fantastic? You know it, doc. And what's the doctor going to tell him? Yes, because that's what the doctor has realized he wants to expect. And so the doctor will not hear things that are not beneficial. Now, it's not that the doctor will not make a complete diagnosis of the patient, but the doctor will not be so readily inclined to put a negative attitude on a diagnosis than before, when he was doing this and just running in the mill with a lot of people with problems. We're the master of our life. We're the winner of our life. We're the creator of our life. We're the genius of our life. We're fantastic. And silence, these are words easy to misread. And also, we might conclude by saying, silence, these are words easy to read, for they are written all over us, all the time. Have a wonderful day, and know that I love you very much, and I see everything in your life flowing harmoniously, beautifully, perfectly. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nice.